This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
And welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, it's 66 down on the island this morning. And today's forecast looks like cloudy skies this morning, become partly cloudy in the afternoon, near record high temperatures, high of 73. South-southwest winds at 15 to 25 tonight. Cloudy, becoming foggy and damp after midnight with a low near 65. And south winds will be 10 to 20. And for tomorrow, rain showers early with overcast skies later in the day. High of 74, south winds 15 to 25. That rain chance about 40%. So that kind of popped in here. Wouldn't look like we were going to get any rain for a while, but here it is. Higher wind gusts are possible out of that south wind tomorrow, 15 to 25. So tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a high right now. We have a low coming up at 10:59 a.m. It's an 0.1. Then we have a high at 5:37 p.m., a 1.0, and a low at 11 p.m., an 0.0. And 7:31 a.m. is sunrise, 7:26 p.m. sunset, our moon phase, 97%. Full moon will be tomorrow night and Saturday night. And looking at winds around, not too much to speak of right now. Looks like the North Jetty in Galveston there is south at 7. San Luis Pass is 2. Eagle Point's south, kind of south-southwest at 6. And Morgan's Point is southeast at 2, so pretty light and variable right now. They are calling for more wind later in the day, so we'll deal with that as it comes. All right, let's go over to the Golden Triangle area, and let's check in with our good friend Captain Bill Watkins, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Bill. What's up?
Hey, man. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good. Everything's fine.
All right, then. Yeah. Hanging in, hanging out, and hanging on. That's
there you go.
Kind of how I feel right now.
You're hanging. How about that?
Yeah, just
hanging.
Yeah, by my toenails. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You ever see a cat run up and hang on the ceiling? Dig his toenails in?
I've seen him run up a wall. I've never seen one hang from a ceiling unless it was a ceiling fan or something.
I haven't either, really. But
I don't, nothing surprising.
I've seen them run up the wall.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Oh, man.
How do you like this weather? It's better than it's been, huh?
Oh, my God. Well, I fished yesterday, and it was windy. Breezy. Let's just say breezy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said it was going to blow gusting to 30, and I believe it.
Good old March, roaring in like a lion.
Out of the southwest.
Ugh.
Oh, man.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good for the bottom end of the lake if they're all stacked down there, you know. We used to love a southwest down there. You could drift from inside all the way out.
Well, from the whole lake looks like coffee with cream in it.
Oh, boy.
And it's just been a constant washing machine turnover out there. It's blowing hard from every direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have time to settle down. But we still managed to catch 13 nice trout and two flounder and two oversized reds, had to release them, and one 26-inch red,
yeah,
which we got to keep. So, you know, my folks were from up north Texas, and they thoroughly enjoyed theirself. And, you know, I had three adults and a 13-year-old in the boat, and so I just kind of sat there and watched. But now get this, I don't know how many times I've had this happen to me, but a bunch. So they had never been trout fishing before, never been red fishing or anything. I said, okay, I'm going to give you a demo now. So I pulled up to the first spot, tide was just starting to go out. I said, all right, I'm going to put this power pole down, and I'm going to show you how to cast, how to reel, all this stuff. So I cast out. About halfway through that cast, a 32-inch redfish nailed that thing.
Goodness.
I said, this is how you work the bait. Thump, you know, this is how you hook the fish. Just as matter of fact as you can be. And then the drag starts ripping, you know, and they're going, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. I said, well, I keep one tethered out here so that I can demonstrate. And after a long battle for that thing, that Laguna Devil Stick whipped his butt, but it took a while. Got him up there and netted the fish, and everybody was excited, and everybody was listening to me, and I could tell them anything, and they'd do it. that's like a dream thing.
That's a good way to break them in right there. Start them off. Show them, oh, hey, nothing to do. Just watch this. Boom.
Yeah, and then the wife caught about a 3.5-pound trout. I said, all right, yeah, I got this.
There you go.
shoot. But, you know, it's difficult to fish right now because you just about have to find a little bit clearer water.
Yeah.
None of it is what you'd call clear. But, you know, like that, you know, that real pretty 3-foot visibility tannic water that we have over here, that's not happening right now. It's just too windy.
Yeah.
But you can still catch fish in this stuff, you know?
You can.
Yeah.
We don't like to, but yeah. Hey, we have to.
No, it's kind of discouraging when you look at the water and it's all kind of filthy like, but can you catch, and we've talked about this many times, can you catch trout and reds on lures in dirty water? Yes. Yes, you can. So, but, you know, we had to scratch for it. We caught, you know, two or three here, two or three there, and moved a lot. You know, we even fished a dead-end canal, and that was some of the best water we found all day.
Yeah.
And there was redfish in there, some pretty good-sized redfish. No trout at that location, but there was some redfish in there, and that's where we actually got to keep a red, slot red. And we saw two or three more, and they were chasing little half-inch pogey,
mm-hmm.
just showering them out of the water, you know. But it was hard to get them to bite, so that was pretty difficult. But, hey, we worked it.
That's it.
We mined it for what it was worth.
That's it.
Saw lots of critters and birds and roseate spoonbills and ospreys. It's pretty neat over there.
Yeah, it is. See,
lots of wildlife. And finally found an alligator. Now, that water temperature was 65 degrees and the sun was shining. But for some reason, they just weren't out. You know, usually you'll see a lot of them running up and down the bios.
Yeah, usually this early in the year, they're laying out on the bank, sunny, getting that warmth.
Yeah. Yeah, but for some reason, I guess the wind was too strong yesterday. But it was okay at first. You know, it was doable. And then finally it pushed us into the corners. Just too rough out there on the lake to really stay with it. But anyhow, I actually think it was worse last Sunday. I mean, that wind just,
it cranked.
It did. So, you know, comparing that one to yesterday, and they said it was gusting to 30, so I think it must have been blowing 40. Oh, shoot. I hope we get some good weather coming up for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well,
I don't know.
All the forecasts have been looking favorable, you know, for a while now. I just read off, it showed, 40% chance of rain for tomorrow. But I hadn't been seeing that on any other weather sites. But
no, that's, it was 20 on this long range over here.
It's just
I don't know.
Warm and windy.
Yeah, tomorrow it'll be okay, I think. But I don't know. Saturday might turn around out of the northwest and crank.
Well.
But,
it's going to get cooler
with
that little front. But we're still going to be hitting 70s during the day, so that's nice.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'll take this over
78
any of that stuff we had, you know, for those two Arctic blasts in a row. That was enough. Had enough.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I'm tired of
3 months, we'll be crying because it's too hot.
My son called me yesterday, and he said, I'm ready for hot weather.
A lot of people are, but when it gets here and sets in, you'll think summer will never end. And it usually doesn't in Texas until about November.
Oh, it does. It's so hot around here. You know, we live in a really tough place.
Yes.
But I don't know where is better, actually. Everybody's got their natural disasters.
Yes.
You know?
Well, it beats living in the tornado belt up there, North Texas, and Oklahoma, all up through there, and Kansas.
I've got friends that live up at in Northeast Texas. They've got a deer ranch up there, and boy.
Yeah.
Every time the weather comes through, it's like tornadoes and
floods. Yeah, I got some friends and family that live up that way, you know, in the Hawkins and Big Sandy area. And, man, they cloud comes up, they hunker down.
Yeah,
and their power
goes
out all the time in those storms. I mean, it just, it's relentless. Let me knock this break out, Bill. Hang on a second, buddy. I'll be right back and get this over with here. All right, man. Well, I need to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, not to mention their great processing facility. Nobody processes wild game like the Belleville. Check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And along with their bulk pricing, that's available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And check out their bone-in center-cut pork chops, $2.99 a pound. Limit 2 pounds per customer, 10 pounds per customer, and their wild game processing facility. Check out their new sausage recipe they have available. You got to try it. It's really good. And get your deer tamales and venison hot dogs made while you're at it. Your family will love that you did. And the Belleville's celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we are back, my friend.
Well, I'm back here with you. Well, so here we go.
Round two. I wonder why, you know, usually this time of year, you know, March, April, May, remember how those fish used to just stack up down there in the bottom of your lake and everybody did all the dredge thing, you know, dragging worms and...
Oh, yeah.
Just wearing the trout out, you know, from 2-pounders up to 7-8-pounders. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was yesterday. Isn't that incredible how that was? It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I caught a 28 3/4-inch trout down there one day, and right in the middle of that area. And that thing was huge. I'm like, wow, what a fish. And still... You know, they're not, it just doesn't happen anymore.
I know.
I don't know what the story is on that. And Texas actually put rock piles, limestone chunk rock, in a lot of those little areas. There was a cluster of them. And
yeah.
I watched them while they were pushing it off the barge and mounding it up. And I did a GPS deal. I just rode around amongst all that and marked every one of those rock piles. And
yeah, they're putting that aggregate out, trying to get new spat to grow to it and grow new oyster beds. But I guess all those oyster beds died from the flood, the Harvey flood.
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened, but. There is live oyster in the neck of the lake.
Yeah.
You know, where it browns bluebuck, and from there on down, there's usually live oysters in there. I catch one every once in a while off the mud bottom. In that area, I mean, it was just bristling with oysters. And if you would let yourself dredge along there, you'd be hanging it and breaking off jigs. It was a horrible place to fish, but boy, when the fish were in there, it was incredible. And that was mostly on the Texas side. And every once in a while, those fish would switch over to the Louisiana side. There's some really good, strong reefs over there. I mean, there's shell pads all down that east shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from the Causeway Bridge all the way on up. And there's live oysters in that. And they're just, I don't know. The last couple of 3 years, that just hasn't really happened. So, I don't know. But, you know, I thought when they put those rock piles in there, I thought, oh, this is going to be cool. Because, I was out there marking it. It's not that GPS on all of this stuff. I ain't caught a handful of fish off any of that structure.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just wild.
Multiply that times 100 for Galveston Bay. We've got, you know, all the substrate, the shell and everything we had all over the place that were just always covered in fish, and now they're just like dead zones, like you're talking about there.
Yeah.
You know,
and actually...
Our environment got out of whack big time.
You know where the piers are over there on all the pretty houses?
I mean, that's all. That's just solid pig ears and oyster shells back in the day.
And you can still find live oysters in that mud. Mm. But, you know, the far offshore stuff, it was like, you know, you'd start drifting somewhere around 200 yards out, 300 yards, like in 4 to 6 and
right.
Going out into 9 foot of water with your drift. Mostly the trout now are right off the ends of the piers out to about, 4 to 6 foot. That's where they're at. When you find them in there, and that's usually on falling tide because it rounds Bluebuck Point and the tide runs down that shoreline real good. And when you find trout there's some nice ones, and but it has to clear up. Seems like that when it's dirty like it used to be when we catch all those fish, you know, you couldn't even see an inch down into the water. If it would swap over to a high tide and the tide would come in out of the Gulf a little bit, that's when those fish would light off.
Oh, they'd go crazy. Yeah. You know, that's why you had to get worm down on the bottom and drag it, because that water was cleaner and saltier on the bottom, and those fish were just stacking it, man.
Yeah, that's where they would hold. They'd get behind those pig ears on the bottom there, and you'd have to get, you know, just tip the top of that shell.
Yeah, because if you let it go all the way down, it was break off city. You know, you'd go through 100 jig.
Yeah, you were done.
When that tide would slow up, it'd let the bait get on the bottom, and it'd break off city.
And most I ever lost in one day was 60.
I believe
that
it.
That was stupid. Yeah, it just... That takes a delicate feel to learn how to do that.
But yeah, you got to hold your right angle just right up, and, you know, and everybody was dragging those big old gill raker bass worms on a jig head.
Yeah. Tequila Sunrise, blood red, tomato.
You know, all weird colors. It didn't matter. It swam just over the shell and it wiggled. They ate it.
Yeah, and a lot of times they'd be spitting up those sandworms.
Yeah, those sand eels. Yeah, that's what they were on. They were crushing them.
And I think maybe that's what doesn't come anymore, is the sand eels. Maybe that's the key to that. Maybe they don't have sand eel hatches like we used to. I'm not sure, but don't see that. But, you know, right now, those fish usually gather somewhere below the bridge up until May, and then that's May, June, they switch to the lake again. So they go up the ship channel.
Yeah.
It's as soon as that water salts back up, even before it turns green, they'll leave and head north. And you'll be catching them. And I've caught like 50 or 60 one day, and the next day, you can't find two or three trout down there. It happens in mass. Those trout just leave. They go wherever they go. Usually about the second week of June, they move back up in the lake, just whenever it dries up and salts up. And they'll catch a high tide coming in and move with it. And then you have to just kind of pick and choose where you fish down there.
Yeah.
But they'll set up anywhere from Lighthouse Cove all the way back up to the island. And they may even be all the way up to where that mobile plant that they're building now. Got the big tanks on the Texas side.
Right.
And they're building another LNG facility up there on the other side of the Keys Lake Fish Pass. They've already dredged out most of the pool. Yeah, it's incredible.
It is.
Yeah, who knows?
Development, man. It's not good.
That'll be another place.
It's good for the economy and everything else, but it's not good for the resource.
Oh, yeah, we had jobs everywhere down here. If a fella couldn't get a job here, I don't know what to say.
I'm telling you. Well, some people just don't want to work, man.
No, you run that traffic down there every morning. Oh, my goodness.
I bet it's a nightmare.
Oh, shoot.
I used to complain when I was coming over there, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s. Boy, I bet it's really bad now. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. And most of the traffic is routing down 87 now. So if you're going over the MLK Bridge to 82, you're good. You know, that lane runs pretty fast. But some mornings, they had to cross arms stuck down on the railroad track the other day. Uh-oh. And everybody was having to go around the end of it. So you had two lanes that ended at the crossing, and you had to go around the cross arm to get to get to either place. It, you know, it's two lanes that were blocked.
Oh, I bet that stacked it up. Good Lord.
They didn't even have a cop out there. They had one sitting over there with flashing lights, but he wasn't doing nothing. I think he was afraid to get out there.
Get the chainsaw out, cut it off, got the arms off.
Yeah, absolutely. It took me 20 minutes to get by that spot to go a mile. 1 mile.
1 mile.
And, yeah, fortunately, I was in contact with my folks, and they had got through it a little bit before that cross arm got stuck. I said, man, y'all are lucky. I'll be a while. But we managed to go out there and catch fish anyway. So.
Yeah, and they're not going to start biting until you get there anyway.
No, you're right about that.
That's one way to look at it, positive way. But yeah, I was before I went on air this morning, I found it on, I don't know, Google News, whatever came up on my computer, and I was reading about it. I think it was off of cron.com on Google News, but it was, they were talking about rollover pass, and it's about a 50-50 split the way I read through the lines on people that want that new fishing pier and the ones that don't want it. And it's, the homeowners are, you know, they're complaining and griping about all the erosion that, you know, their houses are almost in the water and septic tanks are exposed and Highway 87 is, you know, weather gets halfway bad, you can't get in or out, and instead of spending
well, I thought that
up here, they ought to be helping the community, and it's That's still a touchy subject.
I thought when they filled in the patch, it was supposed to stop the erosion.
It was supposed to cure all that. Yeah, that's, isn't that funny? Supposed to cure everything.
That's so stupid.
It is, but boy, what a, that was just a, all that was a land grab and just shut something
down.
That's it. And most of the people on Bolivar are from the Beaumont, you know, triangle, Golden Triangle area, and they're pretty disgruntled. They really don't.
Yeah,
want,
they
don't
should
want
be.
All them fishermen down there, really. And that's, oh man, what a mess.
They could have put two sets of jetty rocks out about 100 yards.
Well, that was the original plan when they cut the pass through there, the fish pass. They were supposed to put jetties out there.
It wouldn't have cost any more than dredging it full of sand.
Well, that's, I got some just, good bad news for them. They still haven't dredged that intercoastal, whether they like it or not. that was just an excuse. And the erosion
that
thing.
Was just an of course. And the beach is going to go away. You know,
yeah, I mean, the Texas General Land Office, they sold us a bill of goods on that. Remember, they cooked the books on all that, blocking
all the
freshwater inflows off on their survey. Now, the ones that were done by Texas environmental groups, they showed that it the impacts of it was detrimental. And they went and shopped around and found them a Florida firm that would do their survey the way they wanted it so they could sell it to the public in Galveston County, and hey, here we go.
Yeah, and, you know,
I mean, why build a pier there? There's not going to be any fish stack up there because there's no pass to attract them anymore. That's why the fish were there, is because of that pass. The bait that was created, you know, coming in the bay
That's
or leaving
exactly
the bay
right.
And fish entering and leaving. I mean, yeah, maybe yeah. Throw a lot of chum out, make it a shark pit.
My 100-yarder jetty on each side of the pass would have stopped the flow.
Yeah.
That would have stopped the beach erosion out there.
Just like it does at the Galveston jetties, you know. Same
course.
Thing.
You know, you got the sand bills in behind it. on East Beach and all that stuff. I mean, that's just easy thinking. Easy thinking. Doesn't take an engineer or anything like that. You've got examples all up and down the coast of how that works.
Well, down on your end between Sabine and Calcasieu, the way they did that beachfront down there, they were going through the same ordeal that 87 was over here, and with the erosion and washing the road out and all that, and they put those groins out there horizontal to the beach, and it stopped all that. It backfilled and actually improved it, made a bigger beach, and stopped all that rising water. Broke up the wave action, just changed the currents, everything. That's, there you go. I mean, that'd be simple.
Yeah, it's a pretty good fishing hole, too.
Yeah, it is. Yes, sir.
Shoot.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's how that works.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right, Bill.
That's it.
I got to run. Well, I hope you get a good stretch of weather here and get your trips in and catch some pretty trout and redfish and continue on.
Well, if I don't, I'll just roll them forward till we can stack them up again.
Yes, sir. All right.
Okay, buddy. Have a good one.
Don't have a number.
409-673-9211.
All right, Bill. Have a good day, man. Good talking to you.
You too, man.
Enjoy this weather. See you. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. So if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied's got you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224. Our sales at AlliedInc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:39. All right, let's run up to Lake Conroe, check in with the fish dude this morning. Richard, good morning. What's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Man, I'm here, buddy. It's all good. How about you?
Good deal. Man, you know I'm good. I guarantee you I'm good. But I tell you what, it's humid out this morning. They're talking about it's supposed to get up to 90, so it's
90.
It's gonna be a hot heat.
Boy.
That's what I heard this morning.
It won't here on the coast. We've been a lot cooler than you guys down here. Y'all are always colder in the winter up there, and then hotter in the summer.
I guarantee you, it's crazy. But that's all. I'd rather have it warmer than in them 20s. So, but right. Man, 90, getting up there to 90 is pretty dang hot.
Yeah,
already,
I'm showing Houston 89 today with this little eclipse.
Oh my gosh! I tell you what, but that's all right. Like I say, but man, I tell you what, these fish are being kind of weird this whole week long. I mean, it's kind of crazy. The catfish are, I think they're transitioning. I think those shad are getting ready to move to the bulkheads, because no matter where I go, whether it's deep or shallow, I mean, they're catching a lot of little ones, or I'm catching a few bigger ones here and there. But they're just not real consistent. And I mean, I'm talking about normally I go whenever the shad get ready to move, I'll be out there in the 18 to 20 foot range, and I'll be catching them, you know, about 6 inches long or so. And that's automatic. I know something's changing.
Yeah.
So I'll move around, and I can move up to the like 12 to 15 foot of water. And most of the time there'll be some bigger ones there, but right now, There are bigger ones there, but there's kind of a mix of bigger and smaller. So they're kind of, I know they're transitioning. They're doing something different right now. And like I say, I think that's I think those shad are getting ready to move up. Now, with that said, normally I tell everybody those shad don't move to the bulkhead until right around Easter. Normally a week before Easter or so, those shad will really start moving up there thick. And it's just strange right now because the shad aren't up on the bulkheads yet, but the catfish aren't where they're supposed to be either. So I know there's some kind of change going on. So within the next week or so, we should start seeing something else happen up there. And I, you know, it may be the shad may move up early this year. I don't know. But, you know, then them goofy old hybrids, I mean, them goofy hybrids, I've been chasing them in the mornings and I can't find them. But in the afternoon, I'm finding big, massive schools of them. And I'm not able to catch a lot of them because they just don't fire all at the same time. But I'm catching a few of them, you know. So it's kind of weird what's going on with the hybrids, too. Because, I mean, I've been finding schools like, was it day before yesterday I got out there in the afternoon. And I'm sitting there looking at these schools of fish. And I know there's more than a couple of hundred in these schools that are swimming by me. And right. You know, some of them fire off, some of them don't. But it's just crazy to see those big, gigantic schools like that, and they don't eat right, you know. Granted, with that said, you know, we have been getting a couple of doubles and triples and stuff going like that. But, you know, normally I'll have eight rods out, and we'll get eight of them at a time going if they bite right. So it's just kind of a weird thing that's happening right now. And I don't know exactly what it is, you know, it's just kind of different, you know. It may just be the full moon, something like that. I don't know. They may be feeding most of the night or whatever. But the morning bite on the hybrids has been off. I don't know why it's been off, but it just has been off. I've been able to run them down in some shallow water every once in a while. Like yesterday morning, we tried them, and we didn't have a catch catfish up there in the shallow water. And then we jumped in the bass boat and went bass fishing for the rest of the time. So, and bass are doing pretty good, though. I mean, we probably caught a dozen of them yesterday. You know, nothing real big. I had one on that I'm guessing was in the 6-pound range, maybe a little bit bigger. But we're just fishing in a lot of structure, and that sucker just pulled off. You know, chunking spinner baits at them, kind of swimming around.
I was just fixing to ask you that. It's getting spinner bait time.
Yes, sir. And that's what I've been doing, kind of chunking spinnerbaits at them. And the biggest part is, you know, a lot of them are up there spawning, stuff like that. But the ones we were catching yesterday didn't really look like they had spawned out. It looked like they had just kind of moved up, you know. And they're, you know, but a lot of them were smaller fish, too. You know, they weren't, you know, I'm talking about, when I say smaller, a pound and a half, 2-pound fish. You know, they're not the big giants that I normally see up shallow like that this time of year. But they're, you know,
big girls probably already dumped, huh, you think?
I think a lot of them did, but I think there's more to come. You know, what typically happens on Conroe a lot of times is, especially like December, January, you'll have a spawn, and then because normally it's been pretty warm the past few years, so you get that spawn in December and January. Then you get the cold weather move back in. It kind of pushes them out. And then the other part of it is the north end of it, they start spawning first on the north end of the lake. Then they kind of move mid-lake. Then they move to the south end. So from December all the way until May, I mean, I've seen them spawning on the south end all the way into May. So, you know, it kind of staggers, you know, because the south end typically takes a little bit longer for the water to warm up, but the north end is already warm, and that's and then the moon kind of triggers everything too. So it's one of those things where you kind of break the lake down into sections, and you start finding the northern fish. They're up spawning during their thing, December, January, then February. They'll be some on the north end, but they about mid lake they start getting to where they're thicker on the mid lake, and then you get on the south end and like end of March, April, May, and they're all over the place down there on the south end. You know, now granted, with that said, you get in the very back of some of the creeks on the south end, they're up there doing it in the back of those creeks, mainly because it's warmer water, you know, stuff like that. But some of the main lake coves on the south end, like I say, a lot of times it'll be May. I'll see them up there. But a few years ago, my very first sight fish, where I actually caught it off of a bed while it was sitting there, was January 16th, I believe, is when it was. And that was, you know, it's been a few years back. But I was sitting there going, man, there's no reason for this thing to be on a bed, but it's locked on, so I'm gonna catch it. And I did. So, yeah, that's one of those things. When they get on those beds and you sight fishing for them, they're a blast. You know, they test your patience a lot, because you have to keep chunking baits at them, and you're aggravating them. You know, you're trying to get something in a spot the size of basically a 50-cent piece, because that's what they're protecting. They're protecting that area that's got the eggs in it. And as long as you get it in that little area, that it'll aggravate them, and they'll come in there and get it. Now, a lot of times people will throw at those fish and they'll swim them off, and they'll go, oh, I scared it. Well, it doesn't matter. It'll come back. If it's there and it's locked on good, where it's actually spawning out, that fish is going to come back. They always just make circles, and you can always tell their temperament by, they'll make a big circle, then they make a tighter circle, and they just keep getting tighter and tighter the more you throw at that area. And that's what you got to do to keep working them in is see how quick they tighten that area up. And if you're tournament fishing for sight fish, it's a whole different ball game. If they don't tighten that circle real quick, you move to the next fish, because you can spend 2 to 3 hours trying to catch one fish. Mm-hmm. And that's not a very efficient way of doing it if they're not, you know, if you're in a tournament situation where you're on the clock, you know. So it's one of those things, you know, like I fished for one at Toledo Bend one time. It was a 9-pounder on a bed, and I fished for that thing for a good solid 2 hours. I hooked up on it one time, and it pulled off. But they always go back, so you can keep chunking at it. But I chunked at this one for 2 hours in a tournament, and at the end of 2 hours, that sucker just left. I mean, I don't know. That's the only fish I've ever had that just left. It would not come back. It disappeared, and it wouldn't come back to that spot.
I got
you. He got tired of me aggravating it.
So, all right, Richard. I got to leave it there, buddy. Somebody wants to call you, give them some info how they can get a hold of you, man.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com, or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day. Catch him up, man.
Yes,
good
sir.
Luck. All right, buddy.
Y'all have fun.
Later.
Yeah.
All right, let's run over to Matagorda now and check in with Captain Charlie P. this morning. Charlie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm
fine.
What's up? Got a little bit of a cough this morning, but I'm okay.
Well, I don't know why the pollen counts are way up.
Yeah, right.
All the tree pollen now. You know, we got oak and hackberry. I forget. There's four of them that are really getting it right now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it, but... Anyway, fishing's pretty good around here. I had two guys yesterday, and we waited all morning and just caught fish all morning. Nothing, 16 to 20 inch fish.
Yeah,
but just lots of them.
A lot of fish being caught before this full moon, man. They're on the prowl. They're,
well, it's, you know, it, that's when you're supposed to eat. That's
right. You know, that's a lot of people are scared of that moon. I'd rather have a full moon up, you know, on this upper coast than anything, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
And that week after, once it gets in real decline, you know, about 70%, 80 and 70%, then
slows down.
Well.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we got a front coming Saturday. Is that what we have?
Man. I don't know. Let's see here. We've got, west wind at 20 Saturday, a cool front, and then Sunday you'll have a north wind at 20, and you'll be back southeast at 15 on Monday.
Right.
And then next Thursday you got another one coming, northwest at 20.
Yeah.
They're still
coming. It's spring, and... It's nice to be out in the water, you know.
Yes, very nice weather, beautiful weather.
Most everybody's taking spring breakers. I've got one today. hopefully I can put him and his dad right back in the same area we were today, catch him.
Will they wade?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. Most spring breakers, you don't get many wading trips.
I know. Most everybody else is catching drum and redfish and few trout.
Them old drum and sheeps are taking a beating right now, man.
I'm telling you.
They're really obliterating a sheephead down south. You know, the Packery Channel there in Corpus and down at, you know, where Brian's at. And
right.
South Padre, and we're next.
Well, those kids like to get the pole bent, and they will do that.
Well, there's nothing like a sheephead chomping on a live shrimp with about a number six treble hook. It's on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't miss. Just get it out
there. Yes, sir. Yeah, right. I pass.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Put me on the bench, coach.
Yep. But everything looks good over in this area, Mickey.
Well, that's good.
So,
water's in good shape and all that.
Yeah, you know, it was a little off color. In fact, our best fishing was in the off color water yesterday, and then when it started streaking up, but the fish got bigger, like they should, you know. So we'll see what happens today.
Good old streak fishing.
Yep.
Fishing them streaks.
Yep.
Heard any big girl beatdowns lately?
You know, the last couple of weeks, some of the boys that were wade fishing in the afternoons, you know, caught some pretty good fish. But most all the trout I'm seeing caught now are just what we caught yesterday, 16 to 20 inches.
Right.
Yeah. You know, people are learning to keep their mouths shut. If somebody's on some good fish somewhere, I ain't talking about it. And I'm sure somebody is. Too good a condition. We've got to fish.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, that loose sink ship cliche is catching on. People are learning.
Yeah. That's right.
And there's not as many to go around as there used to be. And I think that's another reason. A lot of them keep their mouth closed, put it on the back burner, so to speak.
Right.
But they caught some big fish this week down south.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I saw that.
I think Wyatt Foster caught his personal best yesterday. It was a high
How
nine.
Big was
big
that?
Nine.
Big nine?
Was, big nine. It was 31 inches or something, or 32. I don't know. It was a big fish, man. It was a good one.
Yep, that is a good one. Well, we've got something like that around here. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, that freeze did a number on us, and it's just going to take time for them to come back in the numbers.
That's right. So,
but in the meantime, we still got fish to catch, and we can make people happy.
That's right. At least there's something to catch. We've seen it when there wasn't nothing to catch.
Right.
I don't want to see that again. Charlie P.
No.
Well, hey, buddy. Good luck with your trip today. If somebody wants to call you about coming down, give them your number.
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Hey, you have a good one. Good talking to you.
Take care, Mickey.
See you, Charlie. All right, that's Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda. Time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.